Sunday, February 25th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. So we now have the Democrats' counter-memo, which essentially proclaims the opposite to be true. So at the very least, one side or the other is lying. Think about that for a second. One group or the other is at the very least manipulating the truth at hand to work in their favor. We're talking about Congress here, not mainstream media pundits or propagandists, the United States Congress. For many, that's not much of a shock, but for those freshly awoken, the point is no politician should be trusted, let alone given some false air of integrity and honesty just because of the position they hold. It's also important to remember that neither memo is anything more than unsubstantiated claims, but at this point, it's pretty damn clear that the FBI is drowning in its own corruption and bias. So both memos aside, they need to be held accountable and certainly do not need any more money added to their budget as some are currently calling for. What we need to see is that these people have no intention of doing right by you as the American people. They do what progresses their careers and whatever they are told to do by the real controlling faction behind the scenes. As Bloomberg put it, Americans now have two clashing partisan accounts that claim to be true interpretations of a detailed court document that they can't read for themselves because it remains classified. This will simply drag out the partisan divide, both screaming that they have all the proof they need, while neither will ever really produce any, as both are just as corrupt. Divide and conquer. The first story of the day coming out of the freethoughtproject.com, CDC official responsible for handling Zika and Ebola emergencies mysteriously goes missing. In Atlanta, Georgia, 35-year-old Timothy Cunningham, a high-ranking employee with the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, has been missing for nearly 2 weeks. Cunningham went home from work claiming he was sick on February 12th and has not been seen or heard from since. Now, this is an interesting story that's really very much up in the air at this point. I only mention it because something about this stood out to me. It's a very interesting case. It ultimately, at the end of the day, could be just another case of, you know, somebody being abducted or whatever, any number of things that could have happened to this gentleman. But what stood out to me was the fact that apparently his family is speaking out. He had a very, very close family. And he ultimately, so he left work claiming he was feeling sick and then disappeared. They went to his house, his keys were there, his possessions were there, his car, his dog. Did he discover something he shouldn't have? Did he maybe catch something at the Center for Disease Control? Was he a whistleblower that was silenced? I mean, wild speculation at this point, which is something we don't normally do, but it's the guy, I want people to begin to think about these kind of things when we see something like this happen. Similar case with Seth Rich, where it was immediately disregarded, but now it's pretty clear that something went down in regard to Seth Rich. So this kind of a case where somebody just randomly goes missing, goes home claiming he was sick, and then disappears. It's interesting, something we should be paying attention to. The larger point being that stuff like this happens all the time, and it's things we need to be questioning. We need to be asking questions about any kind of case that stands out to us as something slightly amiss, because a lot of stuff is going down these days that they're trying to cover up. So it's important to pay attention. Now, we recently talked about the largest ever sanctions being put forward by Donald Trump. Well, now we're seeing in the next article coming out of ZeroHedge.com, U.S. prepares for, quote, aggressive high seas crackdown on North Korean sanction violators. This is such an interesting case. I mean, what we need to ask ourselves is what global authority other than military strength does the U.S. ultimately have? They hand down these sanctions independent of the U.N. and enforce them on an international level. I mean, think about that. That says a lot when really just using military might to enforce these things. North Korea has stated that Washington is, quote, running amok, and that does seem to be the kind of growing world consensus. The U.S. claims that the aggressive high seas crackdown is to block deliveries of banned weapons components for its nuclear missile program and other prohibited cargo, all of it prohibited due to the U.S. sanctions, the unilateral U.S. sanctions. But ultimately, it's not about the weapons and components. As we've seen historically in this kind of case, it's about the other prohibited cargo. And the reason it's listed as such is because it represents oil, food, fuel, supplies for civilians, medical supplies in many cases. And that is what this is really about. And we've talked about sanctions many times in the past. It's about punishing the average people until they revolt or create enough leverage for the United States to get what it's trying to accomplish. But in the meantime, the civilians are starving, suffering, and dying. Really sure seems like spreading democracy and freedom to me. Sure seems like an odd way of protecting the average population by militarily enforcing unilateral sanctions that directly and intentionally hurt those you're claiming to protect. Seems like quite a hypocritical, you know, paradox there for you to check out for yourself. China has also called out the unilateral nature of these sanctions that directly affect China, actually, which is in truth the real motivation behind the continued hostility by the U.S., which leads us into the next article coming out of Global Research. Some of all American fears in Korea, peace. It is clear that to remain in Korea in order to challenge China's rising world dominance and to sell an immense amount of U.S. weapons to the South, as South Korea is a major purchaser of U.S. arms, having spent $36.4 trillion on weapons and military equipment over the last 10 years, the U.S. must manufacture a threat sufficient enough to justify both. Containing China's so far peaceful economic rise is not a sufficient justification, though that is, in truth, the purpose for America's presence on the Korean Peninsula, as is the reason for the U.S. presence in Japan and the Philippines, basically standing against China's growing world dominance, essentially. And that's what we're seeing rise through all of these areas under the pretext of some kind of humanitarian effort or any number of the false reasons that get put forward. Now, this is why the entire North Korean narrative is being forcefully kept alive, despite what the people of North and South Korea actually want. Now think of all the other lies we are being told in order to justify geopolitical dominance. Think Libya, Syria, Afghanistan, and then think of all the average civilians that suffered and still suffer for what they were told was their freedom, but was in reality their subjugation, and for which they neither asked or in many cases needed, of which Libya is a perfect example. Where it once had the highest quality of life in all of Africa, it now has an open slave trade. If that's the result of U.S. liberation, not hard to see why others are reluctant to bend to their will. Moving on to the next story coming out of the freethoughtproject.com, state takes child from parents because they refused to allow her to become transgender. In Ohio this month, Hamilton County Judge Sylvia Seed Hendon stripped custody rights from an Ohio couple because they refused to allow their daughter to become a transgender boy. Now, it's important to note off the bat that this is a religious family, so that plays a factor in all of this. Obviously, it's a very touchy subject today that they combating the idea of religious beliefs in the family and what somebody should be able to do. That's a large topic today, but that's something to understand in this moving forward, that it was not essentially obviously there was a preference involved here, but the family's religious beliefs played a major factor on what was going forward. The parents wanted her to go to therapy instead of getting the treatment for gender dysphoria. And despite losing the case, the child is nonetheless being made to do just that, go to professional evaluation. So it seems in a large way that this case was more political than simply what is best, because what the parents were asking for and then got denied ended up happening nonetheless. So it's interesting. It seems odd that we're willing to allow a child under the age of 18 to choose to irreversibly alter their body and mind, yet will not allow that same child to join the military or drink alcohol or even smoke cigarettes. But mind-altering pharmaceuticals and invasive surgeries are now their right. Something's clearly off here as far as I'm concerned. And as this is not an ideal case, specifically because of the religious aspect, many who are simply stressing caution and patience in adolescence, like with literally everything else, are being removed of their parental rights and even facing criminal charges. Moving on to the final story of the day, coming out of WakingTimes.com, studies show treating depression with SSRI drugs may sabotage your well-being. Mild depression, situational depression, anxiety, these don't seem like the types of psychological problems that would lead to aggression, addiction, and suicide. Yet that's exactly what's happening more frequently than ever before. When Prozac came out in 1988, it was supposed to make everyone happier. Eli Lilly sold us on the idea that Prozac would solve depression and a host of other mental problems. What really happened is quite the reverse. Americans went from spending $38 billion on mental health in 1988 to a staggering $201 billion in 2013. Health Affairs, which reported the latter statistic, found that this is more than Americans spend on any other condition. Today, more people are taking SSRI drugs than ever before. It is estimated that 1 in 4 Americans will experience a mental health condition at some point in their life. If Prozac and all other flavors of SSRI drugs were working, why are things getting worse? A more disturbing trend surfaces when you take an in-depth look at the effects that SSRI drugs have on people, especially youth. In a New Zealand study, researchers surveyed 1,829 adults who were taking antidepressants. They asked about the side effects that the individuals experienced and found that 8 of the 20 adverse effects studied were reported by over half of the participants. Most frequently, sexual difficulties, 62%, and feeling emotionally numb, 60%. Percentages for the other effects included feeling not like myself, 52%, reduction in positive feelings, 42%, caring less about others, 39%, and suicidality, 39%, and withdrawal effects, 55%. The side effects were more prevalent in younger participants, including not feeling like myself, which is 52%, agitation, 47%, feeling emotionally numb, over 60%, and suicidal thoughts, 39%, and caring less about others, 39%. Thus, younger studied participants were more likely to experience side effects when taking antidepressants. Particularly, the effects seemed to make them mentally less stable. Now, considering the fact that over 9 million kids in the U.S. are on some form of psychiatric drug, and again, these numbers are from a few years ago, and it's only gotten profoundly worse since then, over 2 million kids are on antidepressants, almost 800,000 of which are under the age of 12. Then consider the fact that based on the study's findings, almost half of all those kids are experiencing, quote, feeling emotionally numb, and 60% are experiencing suicidal thoughts. Now ask yourself why this is not being discussed by your politicians, especially in regard to the recent shooting. Ask yourself why this is not headline news, and the real corruption, the real crime, comes into light. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.